We are studying Hebrews chapter 12 here on the Radio Bible Course, and we welcome you to this study. In the section beginning with verse 19, the writer seems to be distinguishing between Judaism and the Christian's faith. He started that paragraph by saying, "For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet," and so forth. And then later in that paragraph, in verse 22, he said, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to a judge who is God of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel." The places mentioned, beginning with verse 22, cannot be touched. They are in heaven. They are spiritual. He mentions Mount Zion. Well, there is a Mount Zion in the present city of Jerusalem, but there is a Mount Zion apparently in heaven also. And he talks about the heavenly Jerusalem. There's one on earth, there's one in heaven. That is the city which God has built for those who believe in His Son. Heavenly Jerusalem is the destiny of all true believers. Now we continue with verse 24, where he said, "And you have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant." Now the word covenant is synonymous with the word testament. We often talk about the New Testament, but we very seldom talk about the mediator of the New Testament. But the writer to the Hebrews did. In Hebrews chapter 9, he talked about how the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, and how that will purify the conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And then he continues, "Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred, which redeems them from the transgressions under the first covenant." The Bible is essentially about two covenants. Now, there are more covenants, of course. In the context of the book of Hebrews, there are but two. The old one, which is the Mosaic covenant, and the new one, which was initiated by Jesus Christ. The new covenant has no holy mountain, nor does it have a holy city. The new covenant is concerned with heavenly things. I find myself needing to remind Christians of this so often because they consider themselves as heirs of earthly blessings. They read in the Old Testament how God promised to bless a man's farm and his family and his business. And they said, "Well, since God made the promise, I'm going to trust God for that." The Christian, unlike the Jew, has not been promised things on the earth. Ours is a heavenly destiny. The Jew had promises pertaining to the earth. Paul put it this way when he wrote to the Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I notice that none of the things mentioned from verse 22 on have to do with this earth. He talks about a heavenly Mount Zion, a heavenly Jerusalem, the angels, the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to a judge who is God of all, he's in heaven, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, none of them are on earth, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and where is he? At the right hand of the throne of God. He's the mediator of a new covenant, and new blessings have been promised to everyone who believes in him. None can come to this heavenly Zion, of which he writes here, except through Jesus Christ. And the writer told us in Hebrews chapter 7:25, he is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him. His blood has sprinkled our hearts and cleansed the evil conscience. Now, how does that blood speak more graciously than Abel's? That's what it says in verse 24. And to the sprinkled blood that speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel. Well, that takes us to Genesis chapter 4, where God said, the voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. He said that to Cain, after Cain had murdered his brother Abel. And that cry from the ground is a cry for vengeance, but not Christ's blood. When Christ was on the cross, he looked down at those who hated him, who mocked him, and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Christ's blood speaks of grace, forgiveness, cleansing, and peace with God. God in heaven looks down and sees every person's blood that is spilled, and he will remember those who caused it to be spilled. There is vengeance. Men will pay, unless they come to Jesus Christ, who paid for their sins. The sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ, as verse 24 tells us, does speak more graciously than the blood of Abel. Now we come to the next section, beginning with verse 25, and here is a plea by the writer to the Hebrews to listen to God. He writes, this is chapter 12, verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape, when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. His voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, quote, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, as of what has been made, in order that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The writer is referring to the experience at Mount Sinai, when there was thunder and lightning, an earthquake, a loud trumpet, smoke and fire, and the people trembled, and they asked that no more words be spoken to them by God. They instead wanted Moses to receive the word of God and then tell them, for they feared that they might die. Well, that was a mountain on earth to which God descended and spoke to Moses. In these last days, God's word came by the Christ from heaven. God spoke in various times and various ways by the prophets. But in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 it says, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. And where is his Son? In heaven. And he's still speaking the same message. Don't wait for any more messages from God. Everything God wanted men to know, and everything God wanted to say, he said it through his Christ. And Jesus was able to say in John 7, verse 16, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. When Jesus was transfigured on that mountain, and there appeared Moses and Elijah, there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. God was speaking from Mount Zion in heaven. In verse 26 we read, his voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. When the commandments were given there on Mount Sinai, the earth did quake. And Psalm 68:8 also tells us the same thing. Listen to it. When you went out before your people, O God, when you marched through the wasteland, the earth shook. The heavens poured down rain. Before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. Well, the biblical record does tell us that the earth shook when the commandments were given and the law was given to Israel. But both earth and heaven will be shaken when the end comes and Christ returns to rule over his enemies. The author knew Haggai's prophecy. That's the third book from the end of the Old Testament. Listen to what Haggai, the prophet, said in chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The shaken nations will bring their treasures to Jerusalem, where Christ will rule for 1,000 years. They will become his footstool, and David's son will rule as it was promised by Gabriel to that Virgin Mary. He'll rule over an unshakable kingdom. He'll rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Now the word shaking first suggests the downfall of the nations and submission in the prophecy of Haggai. But there's more. For Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 says, Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face earth and heaven fled away. And in chapter 21 we read, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city of New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And in verse 5 we read, Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. There is more that we want to say about the changes that are coming on this earth, but we'll take that up tomorrow. Have you ever prayed, Lord, if it's your will? Most people have, and they at times are puzzled about how to pray. Well, the Bible gives us clear teaching, not only that we should pray, but also how to pray. And we have tried to summarize these teachings in our 4 cassette tapes entitled Understanding Prayer. These teaching tapes are different. Get ready for some surprises, for no sermon ever said what you'll hear on these tapes. Information on Understanding Prayer and other short courses on tape is included in our free brochure entitled Teaching Tapes. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.